Of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Bahamas. Good morning, good morning. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and you're listening to 96.9 FM radio. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com, so you could listen or tune in on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. Listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796, 422-4796, or call us at 323-6232, or 325-4316, or 326-4259. Keep those numbers handy. I'm hoping that you call in, text in, join the conversation today. Today we're talking women in leadership, politics, and government. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas. Remember yesterday I told you, March means International Women's Day and the Conference on the Status of Women. And even though the pandemic means that advocates and activists, women and men alike, can't travel to the UN, to other parts of the world to participate in global women's rights activities and events, the UN has planned a full schedule of activities on a virtual platform. And that includes some local organizations as well. I'm going to have a guest on tomorrow to talk about some of the work that they're doing in country, and I'm going to have some other guests on. Today, we're talking women in leadership, politics, and governance. And the first question I want to throw out to the audience is, are we ready for a woman to lead the country? Now, you look at the Tribune today, the PM says he is. Well, I vote, tell you who I'm voting for. I'm voting for the woman from the washing house commercial who put Johnny in the big boy washer. See, her decision was pragmatic and effective. She saved time and money by washing him and his clothes one time. And her decision to conserve water also helps the environment. Plus, if you sit right in the washer, you could watch TV the same time as you bathing, and all for free. See, that's the kind of woman I'm voting for prime minister. So tell me, are we ready for a prime minister? Are you ready for a female prime minister, the first woman prime minister? And who would you vote for? So, just a small note. Yesterday, we were talking National Honor Systems. I want to encourage people to participate in that process. The National Honor Systems, Honor System and National Heroes Day were both established by the National Heroes Act 2016. Remember, the deadline for nominations is March 31st. Forms can be obtained from the Office of the Secretariat of the Honors Committee at the Cabinet Office or Family Island Administrators or on the government website. But the truth is, constituency offices should make these forms available and collect them on behalf of the Secretariat. There should be ads all over social media and traditional media spaces. And by now, we should be able to complete the form online and submit with just a click. Just like how you make it easy for us to pay our taxes, with just a click. So the question I asked yesterday was, how should we honor people? You know, another question I asked, how do we honor the dead, those who have passed and our ancestors? And another question I asked is, well, for us to remember that people are fallible, they make mistakes, but people are also adaptable and able to change. So when do bad or questionable deeds cancel out good deeds? And which deeds are unforgivable and disqualify or preclude you from national honor? And the last question, can we honor people without forgiveness or amnesia? I think those are things, questions that we really need to focus on. And they're going to help us to understand our lives in other sectors of the country, right? In church, in business, in our communities? These are real questions that we need to be asking ourselves. So, caller, don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Let me just read this little thing quickly. So March is unofficially Women's Month, and it presents a perfect example for interrogation. How do we honor women? What levels of sainthood do women have to achieve to be honored by society and the state? Well, I know they have to be perfect angelic mothers that bring forth child through immaculate conception and then dedicate their lives to God, husband, church, and family and save everyone in their families and their community and their MP. Meanwhile, we honor men for any old thing. At the same time, we love and honor our mothers. There are hundreds of songs, tributes to mother or mama. Every professional athlete thanks God and their mother after a win. You are to show honor and respect to mother no matter what. But I'm not sure that society really cares about mothers, or maybe they know to care about them, or how to honor motherhood even. Do we prioritize services for mothers, especially pregnant women and young mothers? Do we lobby for public transportation with stroller access and mobility buses, or for tax concessions for mothers, improve prenatal care services? There are things to think about. So, Piswell Forbes says he's not running in the next election. The PLP should ratify a woman for South and Central Andres. The party that initiated a referendum on constitutional equality between men and women should have plenty of women on their slate this election. At least 50% should be women. And just a note, y'all need to hurry up and give Hannah Martin the nod too. Because if I was her and I didn't get it, I would pack up my Georgie bundle and go start a new party and call it the real PLP party. See, I's a hasty, so I got some of that Hannah energy. Do you think she will get the nomination? Do you think Glennis should be the new leader of the party? Do you think Glennis Hannah Martin should be PM? Well, I got this and a whole bunch more questions, but I got two callers on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I must say congratulations to you. I enjoy your program very, very much.
Thank you, thank you.
Now, mm-hmm. You threw out a number of scenarios and the rest of it.
Yes.
But I didn't wait to hear those others. I think you referred to your first...
The first question.
About the pragmatic mother or something like that?
Oh, so
where
I...
Where you put the child in the washer.
No.
With the clothes.
No,
the
no.
Rest of it?
So there's this commercial, right?
Huh?
There's this commercial. I'm telling you, the person I'm voting for the first female prime minister, right?
Yeah.
Is the woman from the wash house commercial who says she put her husband Johnny in the big boy washer, right? And I thought to myself at first, that's a little rough on a man, you know, to just pick him up and put him in a washer.
Okay.
But I thought the decision was pragmatic and effective. She saved time and money by washing him and his clothes in the same load.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, so that example, that was really an example for a smile.
Yes.
And for you to get for you to become start thinking.
Right.
Is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
See, because I'm going to later in the show, I'm going to touch on an article in the paper and three letters to the editor, right?
Uh-huh.
That I want us to think about in the same way.
Okay.
Right? For instance, like I said, the prime minister said that's my dream, a woman for PM, right?
Well, he also said that he doesn't drink. And if a woman, when we have the first prime minister, female prime minister, he will have
Bahama mama.
A Bahama mama.
And
I thought that was rather interesting.
Yes.
I thought that was rather interesting.
Indeed.
But he didn't quite say when he hoped that will come to fruition.
Right.
Now, you know, I'm going to go a little off course in terms of the proposal, in terms of a woman being prime minister or leading or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we really need to start considering and discussing and thinking about, why is it we women fail to support each other?
Yes.
Why is it we are so jealous of each other? Why is it a woman, say, in her 50s perhaps, seemed to be threatened by that 25, 30-year-old female who comes to the job, you know, with all the, I can't even think of the word to describe that woman. But she has the ability, but those women who she met in front of her refused to work with her, accept her, encourage her, and help her.
Yes.
On the other hand, men seem to, this is my observation, men seem to cherish the young man who comes along with new ideas and the rest of it. Men seem to be willing to give that young man to excel. What do we need to do with our women to accept and encourage? Because I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, so, we have more women than men.
Yes, I think we are. I think the proportion is slightly higher. We are. We have slightly more women than men.
Additionally, our women stay in school longer and learn the trades and the rest of it. You know, more. You know, they're more inclined than the rest of it.
Well, women are more comfortable in academic spaces, not necessarily more academically inclined.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the correction. But if all things being equal, how is it then we don't have more women in leadership arenas?
Absolutely.
Aren't we women keeping the other women down or back?
Well, listen, this is one of the questions I have to ask women. The biggest barrier to women's participation in public life, in leadership.
Beautifully expressed.
And in politics. Right, and
beautifully, I'm going to stay tuned.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Listen to it because I really wonder about it. I think we women are our biggest obstacle.
Well,
just here the other day when we had the referendum.
Yes.
When the question was asked, women and status and the rest of it.
Yes.
How many women voted for it?
Right, and how many women express that they didn't feel that women deserved or had the right to have those things.
Well, Aaron, I think you're on the right foot in terms of sensitizing.
Yes.
Womanhood.
Yes.
Sensitizing as women as to how we should learn to accept, respect, work with each other.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm going to listen. I think it could be a good show. Congratulations in all your efforts. You know,
thank
I'm
you.
I'm one of your admirers.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Right.
Before I get to the next caller, here's how I think I want to phrase it. It's not that women are the biggest barriers to women. Let's not think about it like that, even though they may be. Let's think about it that women are the greatest support or resource for other women. And when we realize that, like if we are 50% plus of the population, then when we go to vote, if women support women, right, then we're going to get a big proportion of that vote. So, like, let's spin it. Brother Ian Mora, when he was on the show, the John Canoe Show last week, reminded me to always speak positivity, right? And try flip it. We may be our biggest barriers, but let's focus on the fact that we are also our greatest resource. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? I am sorry if I lost you, caller. Please call back. I had all these questions. I'm glad my caller came in and kicked off the discussion because that's a big part of it, right? So the PLP should ratify a woman. If I was Glennis, I'd pack up my Georgie bundle and start the real PLP. But they need to run more women because there are not enough female candidates, right? And the question the caller asked, why and why not? Men population, but virtually all the members of parliament today and historically have been men. So why not more women? And if we raise the question of quantity versus quality, right? That is, does it make sense to just put women in? what if they're not qualified, right? Don't we have enough qualified women in this country and in the Bahamian diaspora to fill the lower and upper chambers of the House and the cabinet and everywhere? Like, don't we have enough? But so far, the PLP have only ratified 2 women out of 18 candidates. And the FNM only 4 out of 25. So what do you think? Why are there so few women being ratified? I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning. On the clock.
Good morning.
Great, great conversation.
Thank you.
And it's our first time calling on the clock.
Thank you.
You called that great woman's name. That matriarch, you know, that lady that fights and give her all for Anglestone.
Mm-hmm.
She never calls her name. She calls the name of Anglestone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one person the other day suggested that why they don't send somebody there on her turf. Well, there is no other person there for that turf. What happened is that that Glenys Hannah-Martin knows the name of most of her constituents,
mm-hmm.
their parents. I'm the pet that is running around in the yard.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear man, she is down to earth and she is here. You know, and I recommend her to be Minister of National Security in the next government in 18 months.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
And I really, really believe that she will take the helm someday. Okay. Before I should ever close my eyes, you know. And the Prime Minister was being facetious when he said that, you know, because what he wants Glenys to really do, he was trying to entice her to run up against Brave, okay, to cause some dissension mm-hmm. inside the party and all that. But you see, the inner city is more politically correct and knows a little bit more about politics now than 20 or 40 years ago. We are ahead of the game, and we know when we're being politicized and when there's a lie inside the wind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage every woman to press forward, you know, because the future is yours.
Yeah.
There's a jubilee year that we're about to celebrate in 2023, and women will be highlighted in that year because they were they fought well
mm-hmm.
back inside the day, and they continue to fight now.
Right.
Okay? So the promise is theirs, and the children will follow.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Absolutely. So I see I got a caller on the line. Coming right now, 2 things I want to say. I got a friend and colleague who is the leader of the African People's Socialist Party, Bahamas branch. And he ran in Anglestone at the last election, right? And the respect that this boy have for Mrs. Hannah-Martin and her campaign and her presence in the community, he sees his role as his role as another political voice in the community, not to fight against her, right? But to build a common good in the community for the people, and every positive representative helps. On the note of the Prime Minister's statement, we can talk about that in my notes. Let me get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Sir.
Good morning.
That may be the first mail to say after Nishida Kamau. We are ready for a woman prime minister. A long time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a list of women who I like to see, but they never challenged it to the traditional reason of man being the head of the home.
Mm-hmm.
They never challenged it. One of my lists was Janet Bostwick. On the FNM side and on the PRP side was Mother Cynthia Pratt.
Yeah.
But they never challenged it. You need to ask the question, why they never challenged it. They know they could have challenged it and be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
But they never went after it. I even pushed them after Poncanita when he was in power to go for it. But they never listened to me. They never listened to the public to go for it. But regionally, Aaron, our region proved that we have the power to be a great prime minister. Barbados.
Yeah.
Prime Minister, oh man, she's so great.
And Simpson Miller, right? Portia.
No, Portia Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but I'm saying, and her in the region.
Yeah, well, of course, Portia too. That's going to, you read my mind. Mm-hmm. That's what they call Portia name.
Mm-hmm. And Kamala and TNT.
Yeah. Then you had the first woman prime minister in our region. It's up in the, I can't remember the Caribbean Island right now. But they have proven we can do it.
Right.
But definitely a woman can do it. But the question needs to be, why a woman never challenge it?
Right.
You know?
And that's a question I would like to ask
right.
all three of those women, who the two you call and Glennis Hannah Martin. Because what I want to know is...
But I ain't call Glennis name.
No, I call her name.
Well,
I say
you, she would not be my favorite.
I got you.
Right.
But
go on what you said.
So I would ask them, why have you not challenged publicly for leadership, right? Is it because you weigh your balance between duty to country and duty to party, right? So is it you say, well, look, the country collectively is not ready at the political level for a woman prime minister.
Then
so,
you have to ask the other question, party-wise, council. I think they would call councilors on the various parties.
Mm-hmm.
Are they ready?
Right.
But who dominate the council, man or female?
Who making the decisions, right?
Right, exactly. Are they ready? Then, because, you know, the average party member, I don't know if they could vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to have a percentage to vote.
Yeah.
So are the system keeping the woman back in the political party?
Right.
Well, or is it still mind-driven?
Right. Is it culture-driven?
And gender-driven.
Ah, so you're saying, are they focused on the best candidate versus gender parity, like having equal men and women?
Of course. You see it all throughout the decades, about now, essentially, focus on gender equality. You definitely see that now. Yeah. They're not focused on the gender-driven.
Yeah.
But they don't focus on men being a leader. I mean, I'm talking about the woman in their own party. When, you know, majority of the party made up by women.
Well, now, see, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to interrogate this. I got another caller on the line. So second caller, hold on 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
The question is, how are the parties made up? Because I don't know any all-woman party. And just because there's a bunch of women in the party, and when I mean to say bunch, you know, because the majority of participants and members may be women, that doesn't mean that those women sit in the positions of power in the party.
No, they don't.
Now, here's the second thing. Women have, in the face of oppression, learned to wield power in different ways, covert and subversive. We learn to machinate and strategize in the spaces we had control in, power over, or influence on. So it's not to say that they're not in the positions of power. They're not in the decision-making seats.
And you raised something deep, Aaron Gray. You didn't know you raised it. They display their power
in different ways. So look at...
And one of them could be in the most uncomfortable ways.
Yeah.
That woman get to that position, that's a sad way. One of them's a sad way, if you know where I'm going.
Well, no, let's not go there.
No, I'm going there. But then again, that's in the general public eyes, that's one of the ways.
Right.
But I mean, our women have climbed above that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well,
many have.
But we got to face reality that they climb above that. But now it's up to them to challenge the system and say, put their hat in the race.
Absolutely. I got to go to my next
caller. All right, go. Have a good
day. Thank you so much. Thank you. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin.
Hey, good morning. How you do?
I'm fine, thank you. How you doing?
I am good, good. I mean, I'm a little hot under the collar, but I good.
Yeah, I get that. Very interesting topic.
Thank you.
I have a question, and then I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
Well, let me make a statement first. The Honorable Glennis Hannah Martin, member for Angleton,
mm-hmm.
a Progressive Liberal Party member for Angleton, she did challenge for leadership of the party.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that you were saying that you were encouraging her to challenge and saying she didn't, but she did challenge for leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party, and she did challenge my leader, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, next Prime Minister, at our 2017 convention.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't successful, but she challenged nonetheless. And she's a formidable character.
Anton, one second. Let me just say this. That ain't no real challenge. You ever see a real Hannah Hasty Times woman challenge something? Okay, then. Go on. Go on.
But, like, Aaron, no, but And then my question to you is,
yeah,
why are you encouraging the Honorable Glenys Hannah Martin to challenge for leadership and form a, what do you call it?
Oh, I call it
the PLP.
No, the real PLP.
Yeah,
see,
the real
well,
PLP.
Because why? I see the same thing you the point you made about her challenging. I thought it was a polite challenge that expressed her commitment to the party, but a commitment, right, that is complex, because it ain't just a commitment to the current party, like how you said, my leader, right?
Right.
I think Glenys's commitment is deeper than that, and what it manifests is an honoring, like her behavior and moving through the party is her honoring the ancestors that created the party, that made the party grow and realize the... See, the thing about the PLP that people keep dreaming for and are still aligned with, is the party that realized the vision of the people for self-determination and political determination, self-determination, right?
Well,
and she honors those people by not throwing the card over. You know, when Jesus went in the temple and threw it over? And that's my opinion, right?
I excel at my comment, by the way.
Okay, yeah, go on, quick.
Okay, so I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would go back to the statement. She did challenge for leadership
in
2017. She did serve as National Party Chairman, and she also served in the cabinet, right, on more than one occasion. And so she's a prominent PLP. She comes from a prominent PLP family. But moving on to the Prime Minister's comment, this man really takes the Hemans for conk, you know. He really takes the Hemans for conk.
No, because he thinks conk should be protected. I don't know if he thinks we should be protected.
No. He takes us for the conk, which you beat, you put out in the sun, and you let the sun further beat, then you cook and you eat, and then you pass it out. That's the conk he takes the Heman for, because he is saying... He dreams for a female prime minister, a beaming female prime minister, right? How many females he have in his cabinet, Karen?
None.
How many females he had in his cabinet when he took government 2017?
One.
I mean, come on, man. Is this man really serious? This man really need to stop his bunch of hot air, empty lies that he tried to spew on the beaming people. He need to stop his garbage juice politics.
Okay, Anton, we can't use the words garbage juice on the show.
Sorry.
We got to raise the level of discourse, because
I was just having fun with it, Aaron.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
apologies.
I critically interrogating, right?
that
political arena of campaign and the type of language we use. Because let me tell you why.
Okay. I think there's a
direct connection, right?
Right.
Between the commentary that the Prime Minister has made around the idea of a woman for PM, and at that very event where he made those comments,
right.
I think there's a connection between that and the type of dangerous language that we see in political campaigning that we would generally see on the sidelines, but we're now seeing coming out of the mouths of candidates and people and incumbents, right? And so in my show today, I'm going to challenge the PM. See, there are three letters to the editor, right, in The Guardian. The first says, a sad comment on gender equality in the Bahamas, and it's a letter from Joseph Dobble.
Right.
The second is women needed in national leadership, right?
Right.
And the third is minutes not to blame for lopsided female representation in the House.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you have the Prime Minister who is in full support of legislation that further disenfranchises women in this country.
Now, I hope you ain't talking about the fisheries bill.
Absolutely.
No. See, we're going to, Anton, I got to go. We're going to interrogate that fisheries bill as well, you see, because the bill have some unintended consequences, the fishermen say, or intended consequences they weren't aware of, right? And it leads me to believe that we allowed the issue of women's rights or the consideration of their rights in this bill to obfuscate or cloud our focus, because there were some other things in that bill we needed to focus on. But so let me get to these. Actually, you know what? Now is a great time to take a short break. Kermit, can we take a short break? When we come back, I'm going to read your text, guys, and then I'm going to get into the letter to the editor and more of the PM statements. ¶¶
Morning Blend Business.
The economy.
Finance.
Business.
Industry.
Government sector. Private sector.
Financial services.
Tourism.
Personal finance.
Investing advice.
Consumer issues. Consumer rights.
Trends and business opportunities.
Morning Blend Business. Following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, good morning. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Today is Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2021, and we are talking women in leadership, politics, and governance. Remember, the numbers to call in, 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. That's 326-4259. And the text line is 422-4796. And I promised I was going to get into these texts. Let's start at the beginning. Oh, my favorite, Miss Green, and he put the E on the end, sorry, they. Here are you, how are you? Two straight. Well, thank you, I am doing well, and I hope you get your two straight. The leader of the DNA, the next text, the leader of the DNA is getting my vote, and I hope she's the first female prime minister. Well, look here. I don't even live in her constituency, you see? That's what the problem is. But yeah, I support her too. I don't know if I support the DNA and a platform, but I support her. Next text, Aaron Minnis is a hypocrite. For 4 years, he had only one woman in his cabinet. Now he have none. We need to stop being so gullible. Also, you made a joke about putting a man in a washer, yet if a man made that joke, you would have been talking abuse. You need to be consistent in your speech. Stop talking about abusing men. First of all, I'd like to thank you for pointing that out. It was an intentional mechanism to draw our attention to something, right? About how we sometimes put fundamental issues aside for things like saving money and being pragmatic and effective, right? But thank you for pointing that out. At the same time, you know, there is gender critique in those commercials, and it's worthy of us interrogating them too, and how we interact with each other and what the gender roles are and what we think is acceptable behavior. But thank you. That's why I used that little mechanism right there. Good morning, you just gave a gold nugget. Speak positive and speak what you want to see. Wow, that's what is missing in Parliament today. You will see change if all of us would speak in a manner. That's absolutely right, right? Move from the scarcity mindset to the abundance mindset. That's Dr. Olivia Sanders, a Bahamian woman. And you will see all of the possibilities waiting to bloom. Next text. Thank you, Texter. Yeah, I think it's a good show, too. The Bahamas is not going to get a female PM now, 10 years from now, but not right now. But you know what, Texter? I sort of feel you on that, because there's a lot of groundwork that needs to be laid, and there's a lot of cultural shifts that need to take place. And we have to collectively acknowledge those cultural shifts. So I got two callers on the line. Before I get back into this stuff, let's get to the callers. Caller, you're on the clock.
Erin, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
I'm going to make my commentary very short here, Erin, yes, as quickly as possible, at that as well. Erin, excellent show this morning. I think this is a conversation that has been had for quite some time. However, I think a lot of our citizenry still do not understand what is at stake here. Firstly, we all can agree that in terms of women in politics, I am wholeheartedly and fully endorse that, because there should be a balance. Mm-hmm. To get the perspective from both women's perspectives and men's perspective in the issues that affect us as a people and this country as a whole. I believe, quite frankly, that it is about time the Bahamas does see a female prime minister. Mm-hmm. I don't see why we shouldn't. I don't see the danger of it. We have had over the past 40-something odd years, we've had male or men prime ministers, and look at the condition of this country. How worse can a woman do to this country than what we already see today? So let's take that and just push that to the side for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Cynthia Komolafi, I heard you said just now that you admire her.
Yeah.
Many persons do admire her
mm-hmm.
because she has the fortitude to move this country forward, especially if you listen to what she espouses.
Mm-hmm.
Everything basically she espouses is based upon nation building. That is what the DNA party is all about. Now, Erin, the other part to that equation, it's like a closest remark, is simply mm-hmm. this. No one is saying that all of the plans that the Democratic National Alliance is espousing is foolproof and is attainable.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is a blueprint towards creating the conversation that we as a nation should be having towards reaching the levels where we as a people would like to get to.
Absolutely.
There are many, many things in the DNA platforms that are, but we must have people willing to be that bull in the China shop and go up against a lot of the practices that is enforced today that we know does not work for the benefit of the Bahamian people,
mm-hmm.
but be brash enough to go and face them on, take them on head on, and begin to make the changes to make this country great. And that's what's required. But I'll close on this one point, Erin.
Mm-hmm.
We have leaders today who seem not to have the fortitude to go and do these things, get these things done because of the treaties that has been signed and so on and so forth. I believe that we need persons who are now going to stand up for Bahamians, protect
mm-hmm.
us first, and then worry about everybody else afterwards. Thank you for taking my call this morning, Erin. Thank you for taking my sentiments, and I look forward to listening to the rest of your program as we go forward, especially allow the women to call in, because that's what I'm really yearning for, to hear their voices.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. And let me tell you why I say I admire, I support Komolafi. I don't know about the DNA platform, because if I were the DNA, I would have made Komolafi responsible for my economic platform and policies. That's what I would have done. I would have kept her as a secret weapon, right? And in the next go-round for that 2027 election, by that time, I was going to push her to the front to lead, right? Because at this point in time, the economic policies, right, to drive the country forward and to sustain the country have to be, you know, prioritized, or at least at the same level as all the other issues. It have to be prioritized. But so that's what my critique there is. I got two more callers. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you still there? Oh, I'm sorry, caller. Kermit, let's go to the next caller. Caller, you're on the clock. I see we got another one rolling in, Kermit. Let's try that one. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Hey, guess I'm okay. Erin.
Good. Yes, sir.
One thing I want to touch on with you.
Yeah.
You said that you should look into women getting female hygiene products for free. Remember you said that?
Listen, no. What I said was that there should be no duty or VAT on feminine hygiene protection products like tampons and pads,
okay.
and the cup.
Okay.
And particularly in the time of COVID and the pandemic, when we know a large proportion of women are not working, but their menstrual cycles continue to work.
Yeah, but Erin,
mm-hmm.
Erin, I mean, like, when you start taking doctors off things, like, you need to take doctors off condom and all them things, too. But what I'm saying,
condoms are already free.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, Erin, is this, right? It's like, so women, like, this COVID period, and they having, like, some have difficulties getting their hygiene products, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, these same women who have difficulty getting the hygiene products, they bleach and glow every day. They wear hair and nails every day. The artificial life is what, like, they pursue more than being real. And it's like, at any means necessary, they make sure to get the artificial when the baby hungry and all kind of other things around them. It's all about self. I mean, I mean, like, I don't think you should take that the tax off. Women need to be more focused, man.
Okay,
I think
so
they focus in the wrong direction.
Ain't nothing
better than a natural woman, you know.
Here's what we could talk about, right?
Yeah.
We could talk about the need to assist women, right, in navigating their current reality, their current economic and social realities, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we as a society need to have a conversation about why we privilege and honor what we call pretty women over the women we call not so pretty, right? And why we honor and privilege light-skinned women and light-skinnedness over dark-skinned people, right? See, we have to have that conversation before we chastise women for spending money on products, right? Because we don't may not necessarily understand that those women think that that is the avenue available to them to elevate themselves in society by looking pretty or becoming or attaining a lighter skin hue, right? We have these very real biases in our country that are linked to colonialism and a slave experience, but are still very real today. Pretty children and pretty women get all the attention. So don't bash a woman for trying to be pretty in an attempt to elevate herself. The second thing is this now. Sex is a natural function, right? But you're not going to die if you don't have sex. You can control that function, right? You could do that. Or you could not buy a condom, but only practice safe intercourse with somebody you would like to have a child with or when you are prepared to have a child. But a woman cannot stop her menstrual cycle unless she goes to the doctor and has to have money to pay for a regimen of treatments, right? And so you can't compare the two. But we can have a conversation about why women are investing essential resources or income into activities or choices that we don't think are essential. That's a conversation we could have. Now, I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, Aaron, what's up?
Hey, everything's good. How you doing?
All right, all is well.
Good, good.
Aaron, do you believe that at times, like, first of all, let me give my stance on this because it was asked of me many times. Would mm-hmm. I like to see a female prime minister of this country? Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yes. I have no doubts about it. I'm not going to say who female prime minister I would like to see,
mm-hmm.
but God's will, and I would like to see a female prime minister of this country. All right, so let me set the record straight with a lot of people. Ms. Green, do you realize that females in this country are some of the dominant ones on the job? When I say dominant, I'm talking about holding some of the highest positions in this country, in this state,
Bill
21/7.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give an example as I think that's Ms. Joy Jubilee. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name. She's a director,
yeah,
of tourism. You had many females who became governor generals. Ivy Dumont, Ms. Margarita Pinlin,
mm-hmm.
You have all types of women excelling to different types of maybe their name are not out there. You have women in the same 21/7 who are CEOs of private companies, and you know maybe they're not recognized, but you know
they're there.
They are there. And Ms. Green, what is so distasteful when people come up bring up the subject about women? My sisters in this country, do you realize it ain't the men who fighting y'all down completely? Is some of your own counterparts.
Oh, women, because, women also Grant, contribute.
You know, this make me sick. If I go somewhere, right, and say, for instance, I go with my like, consider her as my fiance now, and we go out, and, you know, you have other women because another woman passes them who looks, you know, who enhance her beauty a little bit. Not to say she's trying to attract a man, but, you know, she's just trying to enhance her beauty, and she, when she passes the next female, but you think she had to wear up all that makeup? You think she had to wear her hair up?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
We pick other women apart.
You understand what I'm saying? And then people feel like the, you know, the men in our country are trying to ostracize or die. Some of your own counterparts is do it.
Yeah.
And that on the job site, or, boy, why Ms. Green? Why she got to put on all that perfume? This reality, your own doing it to you.
Yeah, so you listen. That's an important point that you made. We often just say these men are oppressing the women, and men are stopping women, and men are doing this to women. But we can see clearly in society that women are also engaging in and perpetuating cultures, right, that create barriers for women to excel, to be safe.
Let me give you an example.
Give me one more example.
If I'm out with my fiance,
yeah, yeah. Don't talk your business.
Anyway, at the end of the day, if I see a lady pass us as a man, I will say, man, hey, that lady, her hair looks nice. That's you complimenting your sister.
Yeah. Many women do it too.
Elevate each other, man. Yeah. That's the only way that y'all can make a difference in this country.
Now, look here. You said something, right? And you said the same thing that the Prime Minister said, right? He said, in response to advocates and, it said, let me read the quote. When we always feel that we want to ensure that there are equal men and women, not only in cabinet, but even if you look at the office of the Prime Minister, both my secretaries are females, he said. My delivery unit director is female. My communications director is female. The individual in charge of my Bahamas Investment Authority, female.
Anonymous position.
Hold on. Women are doing very well, and I look forward to the day that we have our first Bahamian Prime Minister. But let me point out something to you. See, in that same event, I think that was the event we saw on TV when they were under the tent, right? Mm-hmm. In that same event, when he was talking about going to the gym, he made that comment.
I know you're not expecting from Pinocchio, but let me make my point.
I know that that's not what you were saying.
Yes, ma'am.
But I want to draw to what he was saying, right? See, at that same event where he made that statement about there are women everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And in all the top offices, right? Mm-hmm. He also made a comment when he was talking about going to the gym. Right? And he say something like, I just lift weight and I pump iron.
He don't lay pipe.
Either. Yeah. Let me say it. See, now those two statements put together, right?
So
let me tell you what the problem is. It doesn't matter how many women you have in positions of leadership. Yeah. You could have a deputy prime minister. You could have a woman deputy prime minister. You could have a woman head of the defense force. And you could have a woman governor general. If the person who is in charge of the country thinks it's appropriate and acceptable to make a statement like that at a public event as the prime minister, and it happens in a society where it goes unchallenged, right?
Ms. Grant, I want to say one thing before I go to you, right?
What
do you expect when you think, you have two heads now, you figure out which one.
You can't have that type of commentary. come on, hang up the phone before I have to call you, call me on you. See, that is the type, and this is it. It doesn't matter, people, how many women we put in positions of power in the public sector or in the private sector. It doesn't matter how much money they have, of course, unless they live behind a gate where the customs officers don't sit at the port to receive boats. It don't matter how much money you have. In that system, you are powerless. And we know of many instances of men in positions of authority in governance abusing their power and abusing the women that they supervise. And some of those women aren't much lower than them in terms of a hierarchy of power. We got some stories out there. And for the sake of encouraging decent public discourse, I ain't even gonna name the examples, but there's some older women and women in the civil service that could tell you. So it don't matter how many women have been governor general, because we know that the position is what the Renwood Wells tried to say, titular. It ain't got no real power, right? It doesn't matter. It don't matter if a woman has been deputy prime minister, because that position don't even exist in the Constitution. When a prime minister could get up in the House, not in the House, sorry, at a public event, as Prime Minister, and say that, there's no safe country for women or for vulnerable people. And those women at the top may have enough money, influence, and affluence to create safe spaces or to find recourse. Sorry about that, callers. To find recourse when they are in a situation when a man in a position of power does something to them. What about the single mother? What about the underemployed or unemployed woman right? What about the young man, impressionable man just out of high school, right? We know that not only are young women and men being constantly sexually harassed on the job, there are employers who detail in the interview that if you're not willing to provide sexual favors, this interview is over, right? And this is happening. And it can only happen in a society where we disregard the social contract. We disregard the existing oppression against women and violence against women, and we disregard the ways in which we contribute to that oppression, right? So back to my questions. When I ask, why are there not more women vying for frontline politics, even though we make up 50% of the population? Maybe it's politics and the political culture generally. Maybe women know that there's no safe space for women, not even in the spotlight, unless they play in along with a man's agenda. I want to throw that out there. Now, mind you, we've had a full discussion today, and a number of callers have pointed out that it can't just be politics and the political culture alone, right? That we have to interrogate the extent to which women can become barriers to other women in their upward mobility or their participation in public life and politics, right? We have to, as women, interrogate the cultures that we perpetuate, right? Like my first caller pointed out, we have a situation in the workplace where women are not supporting other women. Now, that doesn't mean you have to cheat for somebody or lie and say they came to work on time when they didn't. But what it means generally is that you ensure that there is a safe environment in the office for other women. You don't diminish them, right? Because you feel they're putting on too much makeup or you feel like they're trying to be too attractive. Because here's another thing that we have to acknowledge here. There is a real reason why you see that culture in the workplace. And although it may not manifest as much in men as in women, older women do not have job. I mean, it's a matter of job security. And when a new younger person comes into the office, there is the concern that you are on the verge of being replaced in an economy with limited employment opportunities, in an economy with limited income mechanism generating opportunities post-formal employment, in an economy with very little social support for elderly women. There are real reasons why these things pop up, and we need to interrogate them, because the most important thing is that we need more women in politics. Now, I'm a feminist. I don't need women that agree with me to be in politics. We could start with just getting more women. You know why? Because we're 50% of the population, and our voices should be represented, no matter how varied they are. Thank you for joining this conversation today. I hope Kermit can let me read some of these texts. Remember to read the Nassau Guardian's editorial page, 3 excellent editorials to be considered, juxtaposed to the Prime Minister's statements in the Tribune today. Check them out, interrogate them, talk about it with your friends. Kermit, let me get these last texts, please. Oh my God, another show on this. No problem with women in leadership, but we need the best people who are willing to offer themselves for the job, not just women, but the best in leadership. By, isn't this like race? Stop playing victim. I don't think so. I hope you listen to the show, and I hope you read those editorials so you could see that it's a complex issue. People are interrogating it because they think it's important. That's why we talk about it. Someone said DNA will never win. I ain't believe that. Aaron, your last male caller sounds misogynistic. Tell him to stay out of women's business. First of all, women's business is everybody's business, and men love women too. So I can tell him ease up, but I ain't gonna tell him stop. Aaron, why do others keep being happy that every day, every month, or every week is Women's Week? Then you wonder why men feel left out. First of all, every day is Men's Day. Second of all, March is International Women's Month, and November is a national celebration of women's achievement in politics and achieving the right to vote. texter said he is anti-woman. If women begin to talk about what men should, can, and cannot do, this conversation will never end. That caller is anti-women. Women are always so disrespected and mistreated because men feel they have the right to say what a woman should and should not do. Men talk about other men too. They just do it differently. I agree, texter. The conflicts of interest under the PLP for all those years have largely contributed to a lot of the problems this Bahamas is facing now. The PLP under Mr. Davis and Mr. Christie ignored the Bahamian people on the gambling referendum. I thought you was talking women in politics, man. Thank you for the text. I'm not going to read all of it because I got to go. I want to thank my callers today for calling in. Thank you, texters, for joining the conversation. We need to talk more about it because we still only got like 6 women on the slate so far. That cannot possibly be enough. I's a woman, and I shouldn't have to offer myself for politics for more representation. Thanks to my producer for letting me run on. Thanks to the listening audience for tuning in. You've been listening to Guardian 96.9 FM and Lee Van Miller, and Unleashed is next. Have a great day, Bahamas.